Welcome to the Breaking Up with Yo-Yo Dieting podcast. I'm your host, Amber McKenzie. I'm an author, speaker, and former yo-yo dieter turned successful weight maintainer, and I get to live in a body I love. Each week, I'll share stories, practical strategies, and have inspiring conversations with guests to help you get and keep the body you dream of. Now let's find out how to break up with yo-yo dieting and fall in love with yourself.
We really are here not to suffer, but to be happy.
This podcast is not meant to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any medical or mental health condition. Please check with your healthcare professional before making changes to your diet or exercise program. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. I am stoked to bring you one of the most, I don't know, to me, she's just like a firecracker and I just adore her. I'm talking about Marlo Ellis. She is the founder and visionary of the Uncommon Woman Tour. Oh my gosh. And she even had an event here in Toronto last year that I had the pleasure and delight to speak at. And she just brings women together and has this like super cool way to make vulnerability and our hardships, like, I don't know, not so terrifying. So I adore being around this woman. She has the best energy ever. She is a former gym owner and fitness professional. But yeah, let's just hear from Marlo. Welcome to the podcast, Marlo.
Hi, Amber. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad to have you here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out with a rapid fire. And the goal of this is just answer the questions the best you can in either 1 to 2 word answers or a short sentence. Okay.
Okay. Got it.
Here we go. Where are you from? Where do you live now?
From Thunder Bay, Ontario, living in Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, and I'm so jealous. You're in Calgary. Yeah. I'm from Calgary. Hello. All right. Do you ever get food cravings? And if so, how do you manage them?
I do. And I usually go for it, but that's because my food cravings are peanut butter.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so when I have a food craving for peanut butter, it's natural peanut butter. I just go for it. I don't get that many. It's not crazy. No.
Okay. And do you call typical kind of like junk food, do you call it like a treat meal, a cheat meal, or just food? What would you refer to that kind of food as?
Yeah, you know what? That's so great. I used to call it cheat meals when I was in competition, but now I just call it like food, you know, it's just another part of life.
And if you were to eat that food, how would it fit into your overall way of eating?
It's probably 5 out of 100% of what I do with my diet.
Okay. Yeah. Who has been the most influential person in your health and wellness success or journey?
Ooh, probably a guy that I used to, who's from Thunder Bay. He's like so random and nobody knows him, but his name is Dan. And he was one of my coaches, one of my fitness coaches when I was competing. And he just had this crazy way of training. Yeah. You know, he's just one of those people that he can skip on his butt. Okay. So if that gives you any, yeah, it's crazy. So I would say Dan the man.
And currently intuitive eating or food plan?
Intuitive.
One thing you think of when you hear the word scale?
My business.
A totally different kind of scale.
That's totally not the right answer. That's exactly what I thought.
I love that.
That's so funny.
Favorite way to engage in self-care?
Working out. Boxing, kickboxing. Yeah. Those are my two faves.
One thing you think of when you hear the word self-love?
Time.
One tip that's been key for you in body and or weight management?
Shakes.
Is that what you said?
Yep.
Ooh, I love that. All right. That's our rapid fire.
Yeah.
So Marlo, thanks for that. But hey girl, so I want to know, like, I know you're doing this amazing Uncommon Woman thing and I love what you're about here, but, and I know that also ties into what we're going to talk about today. So tell us a little bit about like, what is Uncommon Woman? What are you all about right now? What does this stand for?
Okay. Well, the Uncommon Woman is a movement that was born from my own personal experiences back in 2011, 2012. And I was in an abusive relationship that I had to leave. And that's actually how my gym was born, but that's a whole other story. And so when I was in that time in my life, I felt really isolated and alone. And one of the things that was really important to me was connecting with other people. And I struggled to do that because I'm one of those people that has a difficulty asking for help. So it took me a long time to get to the point where I knew that I needed to reach out, but things got kind of 911. And so I had to reach out to one of my best friends, and then I had to share with my family what was going on. And it took me about a year to get to that place. And I think back and, you know, I was in such a toxic place in my life, and I was so sad and I was scared and I didn't feel like myself in my own skin, because I'd always been a really strong, independent, energized, outgoing woman. I'd always had healthy relationships. So everything about this felt wrong. And I just, you know, the way I felt was a way that I would never wish on anybody. You know, there were times when I had suicidal ideations, which really scared me. I had never actually thought about it before. And it came across my mind several times. And I started realizing that this was all connected to lack of communication or knowing where to turn. And so when I finally spoke to one of my girlfriends and shared with her what was going on, she shared her story with me. She and I were actually best friends from high school, and we remain best friends today. But she in high school dated a guy who was really abusive. And I used to always protect her from that relationship. And there were a lot of times when I'd go and pick her up and get her out of something. And she started to remind me of that time in her life and who I was and what abuse looked like. And she said, you know, that time in my life was really scary for me because I didn't realize that there were other options. And, you know, she had her own thoughts of suicide or how am I going to get out of this? You know, it's right. Like, I'd rather take my own life than be put in a dangerous situation. And so when she shared that with me, I really feel like she saved my life. And I believe to this day that she's a huge part of my story. And so I promised God that if I could just get through this and get out of this in one piece, that I would create a space for women who were like me, women who needed a place to go and share and feel safe and not feel any judgment and not have any shame put on them. And I got through it and I created the Uncommon Woman.
Oh, and I think that is so important. And what I love is how, you know, just by talking to another person about your experience, it sounds like that was the beginning steps to freedom and to have that place that, like, you know, a caring person that really just heard you and, you know, was able to share a similar experience and reflect back.
Yes.
Wow. So powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful. And so, I know last year you did a great big tour.
Yeah.
Can you like tell us what actually happened when you set up these large spaces, these containers, like the safe, loving space without the shame for women to connect and share their stories?
Yeah. So what was really beautiful about it was the Uncommon Woman had always had a really big vision of getting other women on stages. So kind of just to give you a little bit more information. So once I created the space, which was the Uncommon Woman, I recognized that everything that was important to me was about giving women platforms to be seen and heard. And this was something that was so clear in my mind when I would think of the vision that it kind of became an obsession. Like, I just got to speak to as many women as possible, give them a space to share their stories, get them on interviews, highlight them in the Uncommon Woman tribe, put them on stages, give them microphones, put them in front of people. And so after a few years of talking a lot about the Uncommon Woman and having the movement grow slowly, I sat down with my CFO, who's also one of my best friends, Michelle Cooper. And it was really funny. It was January of last year. And we were going through my vision for the year for 2018. And she said, what are you planning on doing with the Uncommon Woman? You either have to shelf it or you have to do something with it, but I'm tired of hearing about it. And really what it was that I was just so scared to do this tour thing that was really on my heart. And so on a paper napkin with a pink highlighter, we went through the cities that I wanted to do it in. And we looked at my calendar and we set dates. And that's how the tour was officially started. And then I started reaching out to women in those cities and saying, hey, I'm going to bring an event to your city. Would you be interested in speaking? Give a beautiful story of strength from struggle. I want to give you the microphone. You've got 30 minutes. What do you think? And it was like that it got going. But then it kind of became this like massive beautiful thing where, you know, the women, and there were actually men at this event, but women and men would come to the event, spend the whole day there. They would hear four speakers share their stories and then share the lessons that they learned from their stories. Plus myself, plus there was live entertainment at each event. Plus I had an MC at each event who herself had an incredible story. And then I had a volunteer team, and the events were just mind blowing. They really became a dialogue between the audience and the speakers, which was my vision, that you would actually have an opportunity to stand up after a speaker was done and have a conversation. You didn't have to line up at a microphone and ask a question. You could stand up and have a conversation and get their feedback. And we had dialogues like that all across Canada. And that was probably one of the most impactful parts of the day. Yeah, it was just so healing and so powerful. And we're doing it again this year.
You know what strikes me is I think it doesn't really like matter what we've gone through. It can be, you know, getting a ton of weight. It could be eating disorders. It could be trauma. It could be physical abuse, sexual abuse. One of the biggest things we do is hide. Right. And we, you know, we don't want to be seen and heard. And one of the big things you talked about here is the ability to be seen and heard, right, and do it in a really safe way that leads to healing, not a way that leads to like a more criticism and more condemnation and more trauma.
Right. Exactly.
And that is so powerful to be able to create a space like that, that is healing. Like that's, oh my God, like that's mind-blowingly good stuff.
It was good stuff. It was a really, you know, it was a success. And one of the things that made it so successful was that the Uncommon Woman cross-country tour is really about the tribe. It's not the Marlo show. And I wanted to make this so clear to everybody when I was planning it. And so I made sure that the women who were in the tribe got to be seen and heard. And the women who were in the tribe who were in the seats got to stand up and share. And then there were, you know, there was a lunch and there was a VIP event after, and people could share and talk amongst themselves and meet the speakers. Like I really wanted it to create a tribe. And I feel like we were successful. You know, I've been to so many live events. I'm sure you feel the same. You've been to all kind of, like so many. And what I did was I thought of all of the live events I've ever been to, what were the things that I loved and what were the things that I wish they had? Mm-hmm. And what I did was create the event that was like the perfect event for me. There was live music, which I love. Lots of drumming. It was a really big part of the live music. So I love drumming and I love what it does to us, how we move. And it was dialogue and it was lots of hugging and lots of laughing and Kleenex. And yeah, so it was the perfect, in my eyes, it was the perfect event for me. You know, I created what I needed in my life, basically.
Oh, I love that. I love like just taking charge and creating exactly like what your heart is called to. And of course there's fears, but girl, I cannot wait to see what happens this year. Is there a tour this year?
Yes, there is. Yes. We start in Halifax this year, which was on the original plan last year, but I decided that five events in five weeks was just too much for me. So I did four events in 4 weeks, and that was enough for a starter. But this year I'm doing actually an Eastern tour, which is Eastern Canada in the spring in June. And then I'm taking it across Western Canada in October. So I'm doing 2 months of touring over the year. And wow. And in June in Halifax. Yeah. First weekend, I believe.
I guess we should all be keeping our eyes open for when the tour is coming to a city near us.
Totally. And you know, I feel like this is one of those things that so many people weren't sure about because it was the first year and they're like, I don't really know what the Uncommon Woman is. I don't know if I want to go into a room and be cracked open. And then when people came out of the event and shared their experience, it was so massively transformational that now more people are saying, okay, now I get it. Now I understand what this event is about. And so yes, do not pass up the opportunity to meet these women, to hear these stories. It's just magnificent that these women have gone through some of the worst, you know, nightmares that a parent or a person could possibly ever imagine. And then they're standing on a stage shining, and it just makes you realize the strength of the human spirit and what we can do if we choose to do, and how that can look in our lives.
Well, let's do a little transition here and let's talk about a story that, you know, is so relatable to, with respect to health, wellness, weight, that's like so relatable to, gosh, anyone that's gone through a transition, whether it's, you know, from being like a server or coffee shop worker to sitting behind a desk, or whether it's you were working in a gym and sitting behind a desk, or any kind of work that gets you sitting behind a computer where you're sedentary. And let's talk a little bit about, you know, a very relatable experience that we're all having that's happened to you in the last year as you found yourself no longer working in a gym, but sitting behind a computer. So take us through a little bit of what's happened to you in the last year as you shift to sitting behind a computer screen a lot of the time.
Well, you know, being an owner of a gym, really, I've been in gyms since I was 20. One of my very first boyfriends, serious boyfriends, was a bodybuilder when I was like 18 and he was 20. And so I spent ridiculous amounts of time eating chicken and, you know, doing shoulder presses in the gym. And I look back on that and I feel like he was setting the foundation for such, I mean, I could connect him to the work I do today because the work I do is today is all connected to my fitness life because the man that was in a relationship with me was a gym owner. And I, when I transitioned into becoming a fitness professional from a teacher, I was a high school teacher. I transitioned into fitness professional and I went to his gym and worked at his gym. And that's how he and I connected. So it's all so strangely connected, but yeah, so I've been working out and super active and in gym since I was 20. So that's a long time, right? And then when I shifted my career and closed my gym in 2015, I started working behind a computer. And like I was saying to you earlier, you know, the first 3 years I kind of got away with everything because I'd been carrying all this lean muscle mass and I'd been working up for so many years that I had a lot of regular movement during the week, but it was sufficient.
Right.
But then last year, which was year officially number 3 behind a computer, I started really noticing a difference in my energy levels, in my mindset, my lethargy, and my body completely changed. And I remember, you know, I remember the day that I looked in the mirror and it was like something happened overnight. And I was just like, oh my God, what happened to my ass? You know, like what is happening to my body? And, you know, so I kind of came out and said to my partner, what is happening to me? And he's like, well, you've been sitting behind a computer for 3 years. Like, you look great, but yeah, your body's going to change, you know?
Right.
And he was always so supportive and he was always just, you know, he was never one to say anything negative, but he kind of gave me the look like, yeah, you know, you've pulled way back and this is what happens, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's a combination of obviously my diet, because my diet changed. I don't eat as much, which we know from a health perspective is not always the answer. So I don't eat as much. I don't eat as often and I move less.
Right.
Right. So everything in my body just was like, okay, we're done with this. Like we've kind of used up our stores. So that was a real big awakening. And so
what was it like for you to have that awakening there? Like, what did that feel like for you?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I guess I just, there was a side of me that thought, well, this is kind of what I have to do, you know, because a lot of the work that I have been doing is behind a computer and that's just part of what I've chosen. But what is not something that I would recommend to other people is that I just released a lot of the fitness from my life when I closed my gym. I think there's some psychology behind that that might not be normal for other people in that I'd been in gyms for 20 years and I was kind of like, I'm done. You know, and being a gym owner, I always say, if you ever want to work out, don't own a gym. Because it's like, if you want to have really great hair, don't be a hairstylist. Or if you want to have a great car, don't be a mechanic. Like the last thing you want to do after you've been training people all day is work out.
Right.
Right. So that's why when you asked me, you know, who was my biggest influence, there was a trainer who contracted out of my gym and I hired him as a personal trainer because I said to him, if I don't have appointments with you, I'm not going to work out.
Right.
I was just so tired at the end of the day, you know?
But I think that tiredness is something like, it doesn't matter if we're working in the gym or working behind a job or you're taking care of your kids. Like, God, just that tiredness at the end of the day, if we're not accountable to someone, that is so relatable. Like we can come up with any excuse like, oh my gosh, I was so busy. I had this, I had that. And like, let's be real. A lot of our jobs are mentally, if not physically exhausting. And we do feel like we're up against the wall at the end of the day. And it sounds like you made that conscious effort to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, I did. But then when, of course, when I closed my gym, I released that, which was crazy. Mm. And so, as I was saying to you before we came on the podcast, you know, my goal for 2019 is to take my health back because I know how good I feel when I am really in alignment. And so I went and got, I just recently moved to Calgary. And so I went and got a gym membership last week and I've been going, and it has felt incredible. And it's so funny. I'll be talking to friends, say, I went to the gym, I feel so good. And then I'll laugh and say, of course I do. Like, I know this, you know, I lived this for many years. So, right. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about, like, you moved to a new city. Why is gym membership high up on your list of things to do?
Well, I'm not one of those people that can work out from home. I'm just not. I think part of it is the fact that I was in a gym environment for so long. I actually love the smell of gyms. Like, I like that rubbery smell that you smell when you walk in. It's like a weird
thing. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
I love that smell, and I love the sound of people dropping weights, even though, like, don't ever drop a weight in the gym. But, you know, there are things about gym that I love. It's a fitness space. It's a
right.
space when I go in there, I'm not doing anything else. And so I go in and I actually work out harder. Time flies by and I'm in an environment that is going to encourage me to do what I want to do. If I try to work out at home, I'll be like, oh, fluff ball under the couch, and I'll stop and plug in the vacuum, and I'll be like, you know,
yeah.
I just can't do that. So a gym membership for me is really important as well. I'm in a new city and I think it's such a great way for me to kind of open up my social network, you know.
Absolutely. But yeah,
I'm not there to build friendships with people. However, I see it that that's always one of the beautiful benefits, is surrounding yourself with people who have some of the same values, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And being in a new city, it's just a great way for me to kind of step into my community.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about being sedentary in 2019 and making some changes, because gosh, I think 2019, this is being released like March. You know, a lot of people were sedentary, we're into 2019, we're thinking about changes. So I love hearing about the gym membership. What other things do you think are key to kind of taking your health back in 2019?
Well, I have to be a little bit more conscious about my food. I mean, when you're sedentary, you just can't. I used to be able to eat anything. I'm one of those people that can eat anything I want if I'm really regularly active. And that's because my dad has that genetic. Now, mind you, if I take a few weeks off, and alcohol doesn't really count. Alcohol's always had an impact on my body, like instantly. Like, I'll puff up and I feel gross. But I've always been pretty, you know, I've always been pretty free as far as what I can eat, but I've also been very, again, because of my fitness background, I'm conscious of how much I have. Like, I don't have any junk in my house. I always say to people, I'm not the house to come to if you've got like chocolate cravings or chip cravings, or the biggest thing I have is popcorn. That's my big thing, you know.
But I think that's so important. If we're thinking about like being sedentary, that means we're not burning as many calories, and if we have the junk in our house, we're gonna eat it.
That's right. And a lot of people use that. Oh, it's here, I have to eat it. Well, actually, well, you bought it so that you would eat it. Like, let's just be honest, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I think I'm just a lot more conscious about what I eat. But even so, things have to change again. It's really just my activity levels have to increase. And of course, with the work I do and the energy that I put into my work, which is a lot of emotional energy, I need to have a healthy space to release that. And I love yoga and anything meditation, yoga, like sitting still type stuff, as well as just being on your mat. So that's become a big part of my fitness routine as well. Mm-hmm. And I count it as a workout. You know, people are like, yoga's not working out. Really? Try a hot flow class or a yin class where you hold the same pose for like 7 minutes.
Right.
You know, so you're going to have a different kind of a body. But you know, you look at women and men who practice yoga all the time, they're incredible shape. They just have a different shape to them.
Right.
So they feel good. That's all that matters. I'm far more concerned at this point with feeling good than being super jacked up and being exhausted or whatever, which is kind of what I used to do.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about like why feeling good is the most important thing for you?
Because that's the only way to feel. You know, I mean, when I owned my gym, I was exhausted. I did 3 years of, you know, 12, 14 hour days. And people used to say that how great I looked, but my family, I never saw my family. I never saw my friends. I was obsessive about what I was eating and my calories and how much I worked out. And if I didn't work out, I'd beat myself up. And, you know, the minute I got in any car, I slept. I mean, I was just, my partner at the time, he always used to say to me, oh, we're going to go for, you know, a coffee. I'll come get you. You'll get to have a nap. And I would sleep between the gym and the coffee shop. I mean, I was just not living. I just wasn't in alignment with what I wanted. And now I provide myself an opportunity to connect with people. I travel a lot. I sleep really deeply. My health and my wellness is important to me. I read, I write, I have just changed my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Sure, some things have changed, but mentally and emotionally, and even physically in some ways, I feel so great. I mean, right. My body doesn't look the same, but my body's still happy and I sleep really deeply and my body's really happy when I sleep. So, you know, sometimes it's a trade-off, right?
And I think, you know, just because sometimes people look aesthetically how, I don't know, how society wants them to look or something, like that can be misperceived as, oh, they must be feeling great. But I know there's been times where physically I might have looked great, but I was doing some weird, like only eating cauliflower diet.
Right.
And if it was made of cauliflower. Tired. Pardon? Yeah.
Just tired, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think that that's probably more true than not, Amber. I think that there are millions of people out there who look incredible, but behind closed doors, they are obsessing about their weight, the size of their butt, their waist, how things are fitting. They have, you know, body dysmorphia. They don't have a healthy love for their body. They're constantly self-loathing if they had a glass of wine or a chocolate bar, you know. So I think it's an epidemic, actually. And it's one of the reasons that I found owning a gym really difficult. There were times when I was just like, man, this is just so hard. You know, it was heartbreaking to watch women just beat themselves up so badly about their bodies when I just saw this beautiful human being, you know? So I'm not dissing the fitness industry. I absolutely love it. And it's made me who I am today, but I do think that we have a lot of work to do still.
Yeah. And there's absolutely like a fine line between overdoing it and, you know, maybe overtraining, not eating enough and finding like truly being a person that is rocking their fitness and that feels aligned and they have energy and they feel great in their skin compared to that person that looks great, but is just like slugging and can't hardly get by.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so what is like, have you had days like in your desk job behind the computer, planning your big events where you have truly felt in alignment?
Oh, I feel in alignment every day. I feel alignment right now. I have never been happier. I have never been happier in my life than I have been over the last year, I would say. 2018 was the happiest year of my life. And I know it's because I found my sweet spot that was all of the things that are important to me. It was connection. It was love. It was storytelling. It was traveling. It was my tribe, my work, the freedom that this work has given me. It was, you know, finding abundance in my life work, which I think a lot of people don't believe can happen. It's absolutely can. And so I'm fully aligned every day. I'm very careful now not to make any decisions that don't align. So,
okay. I love this. And I know personally from talking to you outside of this, like you made some big, big, big changes in your life to live this alignment. And you just talked about like living in alignment with love, storytelling, your work, abundance. Like there's so much there. Marlo, how did you get like unapologetic and stop worrying about what everybody else is going to think and just take control of your life?
How?
Yeah.
Good question. I know that it was through trial and error. It was through living out of alignment and hating how I felt. And I loved how I looked. Like this is a perfect example. So when I owned my gym, you know, I looked great. I was 46. You know, I looked incredible physically, but I was out of alignment. I was not traveling. I wasn't practicing enough self-love. I was missing my family and my friends. I was really tied down to these four walls. I was drinking a lot, which has shocked so many people, but I wasn't happy. I loved my work, but you know, we're not just work. And people who were my clients used to say, I thought you loved training us. I thought you loved the gym. And I'd say, I did, but my life is so much bigger than that. And all of the other things were suffering as a result of my gym. And it was a choice. I mean, I made some choices. I ended up hiring a staff because I just decided that I couldn't do it all anymore. But by that point, I was so exhausted already. It kind of didn't matter. But I've just had to be in alignment with my movement. And my life work is everything to me. And these women are everything to me. And I feel like I was tapped on the shoulder by God and just said, like, I'm going to give you this to do. I don't have children. I've got a ton of freedom to travel and my schedule can be really erratic and nobody really suffers except my puppies, you know, and I always have people taking care of them, but I've just decided that this is how I'm going to live my life and that I'm never going to settle for anything but 100% alignment. And it's not easy all the time. You know, I've had to make some big decisions and leave relationships or leave, you know, leave situations that used to be okay, but they weren't ever great. And I just needed to be like, this doesn't align with my work. And if I want to show other women what it looks like to live in alignment, I have to be in alignment. I have to be walking the walk.
And so can you just give us a glimpse into how does Marlo know when she's in alignment? Is it a little whisper? Is it a feeling in your soul? Is it like divine intuition? Like, how do you know when you're in alignment?
Well, because I'm happy.
Okay.
Happy, really happy.
Right.
Really happy from the inside out. I feel light. I sleep really deeply. I have this like lines across my forehead that always show up. And I have an itchy finger. It's so funny. My mom will say, oh, you're itching your finger. What's going on in your life? I have one finger that has like, I don't know what it's called, but I get like an itchy rash on my ring finger on my right hand side. If I'm out of alignment, like it's just, you know, your body gives you signs if you're not seeing it because of other things.
Right.
And so I have all these weird and wacky ways of just knowing if I'm in alignment or not. And I've just decided that it's either a hell yes or a hell no. And that's the only way. I'm not really a gray area person anymore. I'm not.
I love that. It's either a hell yes or a hell no, and there's not the gray space for you.
No. I think when people are in a gray area, I think I actually kind of think that it's, they actually really know the answer, but they're just avoiding.
Mm, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So possible. You know, I really appreciate having you on. I think you're talking to a really common story today, or an uncommon story. I don't know how we want to put it, but I think, you know, you've allowed us to really see and hear some of the big things you've gone through. You've given us, you know, you've talked with us about what it could be like to be seen and heard and how we can live more in line with our truth. You've taken us through how to be conscious and really like how to live in line with you through trial and error and really connecting back to yourself and love and your work and abundance and storytelling. And you just, I don't know. I just love how real you just show up as you. And I just want to thank you and honor you for everything.
Oh, well, thank you. And you know, it's women like you, Amber. I know I had you speak at my meetup in Toronto, my first ever Uncommon Woman meetup in Toronto last year. And it was so great having you there because I felt like you would be able to speak right into the souls of the women at the meetup. And you did just that. And I know that your story was so impactful. And I love what you're doing here on Break Up with Yo-Yo Dieting. I think it's important to, you know, use this, the foundation of your podcast. We can apply this to all parts of our lives. Like what do you need to break up with?
Right.
You need to break up with a lot of things. And right. So I honor the work that you're doing, and I hope that the message in whatever way hits the right people. And that's always what the outcome is supposed to be. So I hope that we did that. Thank you for your kind words, by the way.
Oh, well, I adore you, Marlo. I adore you. And I'm wondering, you know, if you want to leave the listeners with one thing to take away from the message today, what would you want to leave them with?
That we really do have, we really are here not to suffer, but to be happy. I work with so many women who have experienced so much trauma and so much pain. And I know that those women are listening. And sometimes you just don't feel like there's anything else. Like, that's it. And I've heard women say, is this all there is? Right? Like, this is it. This was what was supposed to happen. You know, just take some time and look a little bit deeper at what all of those stories have taught you, because no, there's so much more. I don't believe that we're here to suffer. I believe that we're here to be joyful. So it's possible, but we just have to dig a little bit deeper sometimes.
I want to repeat what you just said. You just said, we are not here to suffer, but to be happy. And then later on you said, we are here to be joyful. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there in your body, no matter what size and shape, gosh, remember, like whether it's acceptance or whether it's a change you need to make, like we do not have to suffer. And you're so not defined by whatever you feel is not where you want right now.
Exactly.
Oh, that was so powerful. Marlo, if people want to know more about the Uncommon Woman Tour or just more about you, where can they find you?
The best place to find me is theuncommonwoman.com. Well, that's the best place to find information about the tour. Everything has just been edited and changed for this year. So all the information is up for 2019. And on social media, the Uncommon Woman on Instagram, and on Facebook, Marla Willis, or the Uncommon Woman Community and the Uncommon Woman Tribe.
Amazing. And that will all be up in the show notes.
Thanks, lady.
Thanks for coming on, girl.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning in. This podcast was made because of your questions, so please help me get it out there by leaving a rating and review. Until next time, remember, you've got this, and stay consistent.